Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the upcoming events of Divine Mercy Sunday as clemency or conversion. Listen as we discuss Divine Mercy as a form of currency and not some sort of pardon of relief from an obligation. Forgiveness of sin will be looked at as a condition that must be changed instead of a situation that can be excused. No such thing as special dispensation. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and experience the benefits of divine law. So Swami, I got this information from Wynn Calendar. This is about Divine Mercy Sunday. And this is the history that they have stated on their website. Divine Mercy Sunday is an observance in the Roman Catholic Church in which followers are encouraged to offer forgiveness and reconciliation to all. It is based on visions recorded from St. Faustian Kowalski. In the year 2000, it was decreed a solemnity, a high feast day by Pope John Paul II. Roman Catholics are required to attend worship, go to confession, and take Holy Communion. Divine Mercy Sunday occurs the Sunday after Easter. And then so for our listeners who don't know, St. Faustian was a Polish nun who lived in the early 20th century. She devoted her life to spreading the word about God's forgiveness or divine mercy for anyone who asks for forgiveness. Although she was a mystic, she also cooked and gardened as part of her convent life. Now, St. Faustian had visions much of her life. One that was the most profound was of Jesus, with one hand raised in blessing and with two fingers of his other hand resting on his heart. She said that Jesus asked her to have the image painted and to include a prayer that said, "Jesus, I trust in you." This is the prayer that Catholics recite on Divine Mercy Sunday. Now, I have a quote here from Pope John Paul II, and he has said, "The message of divine mercy has always been near and dear to me, which I took with me to the See of Peter, and which it, in a sense, forms the image of this pontificate." So, Swami, let's go back and let's talk about that you say that sin as a condition that must be changed instead of a situation that can be excused. And then you also state no such thing has special dispensation. Can you just inform our listeners of what you mean by that?
Yeah, oftentimes we think that sin is an incident that can be excused, where in fact it's a situation that has to be corrected. And the reason why I say this is because of the nature of the term, sin meaning missing the mark. And then, of course, the original sin was represented by the fall from Eden in the Bible. And when I break that down and I start to interpret it, the whole thing of eating from different trees really implies the possibility of drawing from different dimensions of reality and whatever it is that we are attached to has a huge bearing on our nature or how we're going to perceive the world. And so the concept of forgiveness of sin and having, you know, finding some sort of excuse and maybe feeling better about the simple fact that I'm not responsible for this has really been a big part of why a lot of these religious concepts don't work. Because we really try and plug into what we call the physics of spirituality. And holding to the simple fact that Kriya Yoga is a spiritual science. That it's not just a lot of theory and advice, but it's instruction to do something. And with regard to this concept of making a distinction between conduct and connection, that a lot of us are trying to make most of our corrections in our conduct. We're trying to be good. Whereas on a deeper level, if we actually separated from our attachment to things visible and tangible, and then reconnected to a resource of energy that was invisible and intangible, that we would actually become good, as opposed to trying to be good, or the concept of good. And so it's a little bit different, I think, the way that we approach it and this whole thing of making this conversion where you go from a human being that is desiring particles or waves and now is desiring this invisible, intangible resource, this tree of life or the life force or truth or whatever you want to call it. That it is a real dimension. It is literally something that we can rely on for sustenance. And that's what gives us what we call a resource-based economy. And so it moves the human being from this lowly worm of a creature seeking redemption and pardon for their behavior to the human being having the capacity to be able to grow psychologically and spiritually in a positive direction by simply following the instruction that is given to us in a lot of these ancient scriptures.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, if sin is an incident that can be excused, so how does forgiveness come into play here if we're just talking about these kind of behaviors?
Well, as we go through life and we're trying to go from what I call knowing to doing, a big part of understanding yourself spiritually is understanding the relationship between spirit and matter, which is spirit becomes cause, and things visible and tangible, or what we call matter, is effect. And as you start to understand yourself from a more spiritual sense of awareness, that we move from identifying with effect, which are the things that are visible and tangible, the testimony of our senses, the events, circumstances, situations, the people in our lives, they are essentially effect. And if we get caught up in effect, then we understand that it must mirror the cause. And having a clear understanding of spirit as being absolute goodness, the cause that produces a harmonious creation. Now, as we start to experience that through our senses, we may find it's not reflecting harmony, that there's discord, that there are things that are going on in effect that are not true to the cause. And so these are what we call conditions. And in the framework of trying to understand ourselves spiritually, we really want to be able to use the effect to help us reveal the cause. in that relationship, when we are interacting with people, part of this process of going from a human who identifies themselves materially to a human that now sees themselves as being spiritual, in that process, there's a letting go. And there's a letting go of the testimony of our senses. And so with regard to this concept of forgiveness, we really have to impersonalize any discord that's happening. We can't take things personal, because in reality, the testimony of our senses is not real. It's not true consciousness. That the true consciousness is coming from cause, from spirit, and that can only be good. And in order for us to be able to give ourselves this half a turn, we have to let go of our attachment to the effect. We have to let go of our attachment to things visible and tangible, particles and waves, which is really a trap. And the more we are affected by the testimony of our senses, the more entrenched we become in it. So this concept of forgiveness really is, it's not so much that we are forgiving people for their bad conduct. What we're really doing is letting go of our attachment to what it is that we are perceiving that's outside of ourselves.
Mm. Well, I did go online. I did able to find some research on forgiveness, and I thought this was really interesting. I had searched for the definition of forgiveness, and this one I thought was interesting. Psychologists generally define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or a group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. So I thought that was really interesting. So that kind of told me that we're not really forgiving a person, people, or a group for them, but we're doing it for ourselves.
Right. And you really want to make sure that you're not just doing this so that you feel better about yourself. And that's what I was trying to say, that in the context of these terms that we're using, forgiveness is more of a religious term, which is a strategy that you employ because you're trying to go from a human being that is using material beliefs and material values, and you're trying to convert yourself to spiritual beliefs and spiritual values, because it's an upgrade. It is a superior mode of operation. It is a very practical guide for highly effective living. And a lot of us are doing this stuff, and especially the stuff that comes out of like the therapeutic community, we're trying to manage this false sense of existence, and we're trying to manage the conditions that we find ourselves in. Whereas from a scientifically spiritual level, we're letting go of our attachment to a dimension of reality, and we are reconnecting to something that is under completely different jurisdiction, different rules and regulations. And it is a completely different source of sustenance.
Well, I think this is probably a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Creed Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I also have some other research materials, and this I got from JW.org, which is Jehovah's Witnesses.org, and they answer forgiveness as being, forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender. In the Bible, the Greek word translated forgiveness literally means to let go, as when a person does not demand payment for a debt. Jesus used this comparison when he taught his followers to pray, and this is in quotes, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is in debt to us." And that's found in Luke 11:4. Likewise, in his parable of the unmerciful slave, Jesus equated forgiveness with canceling a debt, which is Matthew 18:23-35. We forgive others when we let go of resentment and give up any claim to be compensated for the hurt or loss we have suffered. The Bible teaches that unselfish love is the basis for true forgiveness, since love does not keep account of the injury. So I want to get your thoughts on those words from JW.org.
Well, again, a lot of it is going to come down to what am I trying to do? Because this whole concept of selflessness is an important theme in spiritual unfolding. And when you start to try and understand that, the commandments that you work with are love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in the Christian concept, the term here is, or I think the big trick here is, what is God? And as we start to unbox that, you use the term I am. And what that means is God is the only ego. God is the only sense of identity. And the am is effect, so that God in man is the creator and creation, that the human is the reflection of the divine. When you start to look at life from this, I want to say, deeper sense of awareness, that if God is the creator and God is the only creator and the human is the image and likeness of the divine, that means each and every one of us is God's idea. And so what it really kind of, I want to say, translates back into itself, that if I am God's idea, and you are God's idea, that basically all we really are is the Creator revealing itself to itself. And so this concept of forgiveness becomes really kind of a paradox. And the only thing that can really be happening here is that if we don't see absolute goodness, if we don't see perfect creation in our external environment, then there's something wrong. And that, and the thing that's wrong is that we're in a false sense of existence. And so it isn't real to begin with. And by this concept of forgiveness here, what we're basically doing is we're depersonalizing the error. We're depersonalizing what I would call bad behavior. In doing that, we free ourselves up so that we can start to see the Creator in creation, which is really what brings us to this realization that we are in the image and likeness of divine love. And so here, from this broader sense of awareness, again, we move away from conduct. We move away from thinking, and we start to move into being. And we want to be harmonious.
So we talked a lot about what forgiveness is. Let's talk about what forgiveness is not. And this information I got from greatergood.berkeley.edu. And they state, just as important as defining what forgiveness is, though, is understanding what forgiveness is not. Experts who study or teach forgiveness make clear that when you forgive, you do not gloss over or deny the seriousness of an offense against you. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing offenses. Though forgiveness can help repair a damaged relationship, it doesn't obligate you to reconcile with the person who harmed you or release them from legal accountability. So to me, it kind of sounds like the person who is doing the forgiving, we have to do it from a position of strength and still make sure that people who may need to still be held accountable for their actions.
You know, again, here we're trying to do something in conduct. When you try and understand the term forgiveness, you have to understand that to err is human, but to forgive is divine. Forgiveness is really a divine activity. It's not a human activity at all. And when we are asked to forgive, we are actually asked to lift ourselves to a level of divine understanding of ourselves. From that broader perspective, we see that we're all one, that there really isn't anything that has offended me or could possibly offend me, because everything is God, everything is good. And so, again, this is, you know, where we run into problems is we try and do things humanly, rationally, when it's really a spiritual command.
Well, so now I think maybe we should touch upon the part of our show dealing with mercy. And so what I did last night was I read in the Bible in John 20, 19 to 31, there's the story about doubting Thomas. And so I'll paraphrase the story somewhat. So when the disciples told Thomas that Jesus was alive and among them, he responded that, well, I want to put my finger in the hole of his palm. I want to put my palm in the side of his flesh, and then I'll believe that he is still alive. So now Thomas was also another one of the apostles, actually still considered a saint in the Roman Catholic Church. So what happened was, so when Jesus arose from the dead, Thomas didn't believe it. Jesus directed him to touch his crucifixion wounds to help him believe. So Jesus doesn't chastise Thomas for his disbelief, which is considered the act of mercy. So I want to get your thoughts on mercy and how does that relate to our show?
Well, again, a lot of it has to do with how we understand this term, mercy, because even, say, for example, I love the term repent, that's used in the Bible. And a lot of us think that that means to kind of beg for forgiveness. for our sin or for our behavior. We are seeking redemption for something that we don't even understand what we did. I really like what Joel Goldsmith says in his book, The Infinite Way. And here he makes mention that spiritual sense does not remove us from our normal surroundings, nor does it deprive us of the love and companionship so necessary for a full life. It merely places it on a higher level where it is no longer at the mercy of chance or change or loss, and where the spiritual value of the so-called human sense is made manifest. Yeah, so I really like that thing that it's not at the mercy, it's not subject to the limitations that we have when we're trying to live our lives from this human level of awareness, from carnal mind, from sensual perception. That, I think, is a much better approach to understanding these terms that are being used.
So, Swami, I want to get back to the statement that we made in the summary, which was forgiveness of sin will be looked at as a condition that must be changed instead of a situation that can be excused. No such thing as special dispensation. Would you let us know what you mean by special dispensation?
Yeah, again, I think a lot of this stems from the simple fact that we think God is the cosmic authoritarian figure, the one that is monitoring and rewarding and punishing our behavior, regulating how, you know, our conduct. And the authoritarian view is all imagined and unreal, which makes all our pleading and begging useless. The key is in converting from a personal sense of existence to an impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood. That's what we're trying to do. Because we don't add immortal spiritual harmony to improve the human condition. That God is not to be used. God is to be understood and realized. Mm-hmm. But it's not a force out there that is readily available to us as some form of currency.
Well, I know you're always saying things like, the grace of God is the force right now supporting our lives and not a gift to help us cope with the world.
Right. To really kind of literally rebirth yourself in that source of sustenance so that we become identical with this concept of absolute goodness.
So I think it's about that time we have to start closing down our show for this morning. So listeners, I'd like to invite you to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can make comments about this show or give us ideas for future shows. And don't forget, you can also access our archived Blog Talk Radio shows there on the website as well. And feel free to roam around the website. You'll find other learning materials for your learning experiences. So be sure to tune in next week. We'll have another great show for you. And be sure to listen to our weekly Facebook Live episodes Wednesdays, usually about 5 o'clock. So Swami, what other thoughts or comments do you have about today's program?
The key here is love. What is love? We all have God's love, but we don't feel it until we know the truth. Then we love God. And the practice of Kriya Yoga creates internal support with a real connection to the divine to enable the practitioner to move beyond the mental and imagined into the grounded spiritual experience. and to start to feel the presence of the Lord and enjoy the benefit of divine law. And so with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.